Blog Talk Radio.
Today, we're going to talk about the Amish culture today, and we have a special guest, plural, today on our show, and we're going to be talking to LaVon DeBos and Naomi Yoder, and we're going to have them on our show real quickly. And first, about the Amish culture. Now, they're from Holmes County, which is the largest Amish community in the world. In the state of Ohio, there's about 56,000 Amish culture people in the state of Ohio. And LaVon is from the Amish Heartland Tours, and that's about 60 miles south of Cleveland. And let's welcome LaVon on our show.
LaVon, it's a pleasure to be here and share a half hour with you today. Thank you, Brian, for the opportunity.
Yes. Hi. Welcome. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
All right. Now, I was wanting to ask, you know, just to kind of kick things off, can you tell us a little bit about the Amish culture, just to start off, you know?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, people definitely have a curiosity about it. You know, it's been, the Amish have been in Ohio since 1809, and they're a 300-year-old culture to start with. And I think
Wow, 300 years.
It's a 300-year-old culture. Well, you know, what has happened is that so much of the media and the Internet have brought so much attention to the culture that people are really wanting to really understand it better. And how we teach our visitors that come to our tours is that they base it on biblical interpretation and traditions of their forefathers. So the main scripture that we like people to understand first is found in the book of Romans, Romans 12:2, where it says to be separate from the world. And it's not so much that the Amish are against things, it's just how they believe it is pleasing to God to live. You know, that's why people say, well, why will they ride in a car but not own one? And it was so cute. One gentleman answered me in his own words, and he said, well, you know, Amish, they have arguments with their wife, too. And by the time when the English get in an argument, they just get in the car real quick, and they go away until they cool off. But by the time we have to go out to the barn, hitch up the old mare, we're already cooled off. And so it kind of brought things into perspective that they're trying to just be practical. It's not about I'm against things. It's this is better for our life. This is better for our bringing up a family. There's so many other illustrations, Bryant. But they are adapting more to modern items. They're They're using cell phones. And when I say they, I'm talking about just certain groups, because not all Amish would be allowed to. And it just happens, you know, what district they're in, et cetera. And the Amish got their name from the leader in Europe, Jacob Ammon. So, you know,
wow.
Ammon,
okay.
Amish. And tradition plays a big part in it. You know, they're very family-oriented, for one thing, too. And there's so many scriptures that go along with it, like be fruitful and multiply. You know, children are an inheritance of the Lord. There's just on and on. I could expand on that. And maybe I'll ask Naomi, too, something, if you have a question for her, since she is Amish. She represents Old Order in our community.
Okay. Yes. Well, hi, Naomi. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing great.
I have a question. Yes, I have several questions. Now, I know there in, as far as Berlin, Ohio, there are two names, because the Amish, now in one community, there could be five different families. And I heard the major families are the Yoders and the Millers.
Mm-hmm.
And how does the mailman distinguish, you know, because there are two lots, like five different families in one district. How does that work out as far as the different people having the same name? And, you know, I was wondering that question. Before we go on to food, because we have a lot of topics we want to ask, too.
Yes. Yeah, that's one way to do it. With we use our initials and then house numbers for the all those voters and the Millers.
Okay.
It's like Ray W. Yoder or Ray A. Yoder or Ray B. Yoder.
Okay. That makes sense. Now, you know, in our kitchen, we have like the microwave, dishwasher, mixer, blender. Tell us about an Amish kitchen. Now, what would be in an Amish kitchen?
Okay. As an Amish kitchen, we have the natural gas stoves. We have practically the 8-feeders, what we call them. That's our mixer. It's a hand crank thing. Pretty well hands-on everything. You mix the bread dough with your hands, big spoons. There's no mixers or things like that.
I think, Naomi, what I see too now, Naomi would have a gas refrigerator,
I'm
not mistaken.
Okay. Yes.
So in our county, there's an abundance of natural gas, and many of the farms and the homes can tap into that gas. But there again, about a different group than Naomi, there's a Schwarzentruber group, and they don't have hot running water. They don't have indoor restrooms. They don't have any form of like electric at all. They would have the kerosene stove and the wood burning oven. So depends again, Brian, what group you're kind of referring to as to what you might be in a quote unquote Amish kitchen.
Okay. So I got to let everybody know, because the Amish culture, they're not allowed to use electricity, correct?
Well, yes, they can use it. They just can't own it, not from the grid.
Our Amish here have
forms of power. They use solar panels to charge batteries that run sewing machines. You could use different batteries to even power your lights if it's charged by a generator. So there's just different forms depending on the group we're referring to. Because like I said, not all Amish are going to have all the same types of amenities. Now Naomi, your house is heated how?
With a gas, natural gas, and a wood burner.
Mm-hmm.
The main source is natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But you might use, might have a solar panel. I'm not real sure that charges batteries to run what, Naomi?
We've got the solar panel for lights, sewing machine, ironing.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
See, it's not so much they can't use it, Brian. It's the ownership part. Connecting to you know, knowing where to draw the line on separation from the world.
Wow.
Because the world would be those who use electric and who have it. I mean, who own it. It would be like you and I, Brian, being like considered the world because we can own it. Mm-hmm.
Very profound. Now, I wanted to ask a question. The Amish are known to have a reputation for good food, homemade food, gardening. And, you know, what I know about the Amish is they make good breads, desserts, and canning. Can you tell us about those three areas, about the bread, desserts, and canning?
Well, I'm going to let Naomi answer that, Brian, because I'm not a cook.
Okay.
She is.
Naomi
likes
good
breads. What do you use with your bread, a certain flour, things like that?
Yes, for the bread, we use the whole wheat flour, the self-rising flour. Mix those two together for a light wheat bread. The yeast, we mix it all together with our hands.
Do you use how long?
Wow. We let it rise till it's like 30 minutes, and we do that twice. Then work work it out in loaves and bake it for about 25 minutes.
Wow. Now, with the, you know, because I've seen a lot of pictures about canning, you know, and I was thinking, you know, since the different families are in the community, is there one family that makes best bread and another family makes best desserts? So everybody goes, all right, let's go to the Smiths, and they have the bread because their family makes the best bread. So does that work out there in Berlin? No.
Well, Naomi is smiling big and shaking her head yes. So, you know, I think even with us here in our office, we all individually have our, like, our favorite cooks that do the best roast beef and the best pies.
Yes.
I think that comes down to, like, a personal preference. But Amish are no different than us when it comes to wanting to eat good food. They know who's going to have the best of something, too.
Yes, yes. Because I'm thinking, you know, I mean, since it's huge families that live together, you know, I guess there's kind of like a trading and selling and, you know, going on there, right?
Well, not necessarily. You know, we're not really, the aren't living, you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure. Are you meaning like multiple families living together? Is that what you're referring to?
I guess I'm referring to, like you said, the Yolders and Millers. And maybe the Yoders, they're good at bread. Their family traditions they're good at bread, you know.
Well, I don't know if it's so much the name, Bryant. I would say it's more the individual cook.
Makes sense.
There could be Schlabel or a Barkman or a Keim or a Weaver.
Okay.
Really out a good, you know, dish. It's not so much surname because in our county, I believe we have right around 65 surnames of the Amish. And, yes, Miller and Yoder are the top two names. But I can vouch for Naomi Yoder that she puts out a lot of good dishes. So I know she's one of my favorites. You see what I mean?
Wow. Okay.
And then you
mentioned
canning. One of our groups up here is called a Schwarzentruber group, and they tend to have larger families. This one that I'm thinking of has 11 children, and she told me that she canned 300 two-quart jars of pears this summer.
Wow.
That's a lot of pears. And you know, because they're not so much to do, you know, a lot of grocery shopping. They'll have to, but they really do a lot of canning for those big families. Their grocery bill would be horrendous. But Naomi has children, Naomi.
We have four children.
So her canning demand may not be as much as a Schwarzentruber with 10 or 11 children.
Right. Wow.
And also, like Naomi, I doubt that her personal family would go out and make their own lard. Am I correct, Naomi? But there are Amish here that do. I mean, I witnessed it. I have videos on making lard after they've butchered their hogs. So, again, it's such a diversity here. It's very, very diverse.
Now, I mean, our holidays, you know, we have Thanksgiving coming up and we have Christmas coming up. Now, what are some of the Amish holidays And I know, I mean, food is a big item during the holidays there, I'm pretty sure, there in the community.
Well, I know Christmas. I'm going to say a little bit, and I'm going to let Naomi expand on it. Christmas, they definitely celebrate Christmas, but not until January 6th, typically. But I know when I've taken Amish youth caroling, they always enjoy going back to someone's house for, like, sloppy joe sandwiches and just some nice snacks and all kinds of, like, chocolatey treats or cookies or puddings and things like that. But they do celebrate Christian holidays. And since Naomi, what is the typical get-together menu that you would have with your family?
For Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yes. Or Christmas.
Okay. The typical Thanksgiving dinner is, like, smoked turkey and ham, mashed potatoes with brown butter, gravy, the stuffing, like a vegetable, like green beans and noodles. Then for dessert, there's the date pudding and always our big assortment of pies.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so that's almost really kind of close to the Thanksgiving that we have out of non-Amish, pretty close.
It is, Bryant. It's just that they make a whole lot more of it than probably you and I do.
Right, I understand. I was looking at it that the Amish, when they have a wedding, it's during a certain month that, I mean, you know, in America, they have weddings in May, you know, but I mean, the Amish have weddings at a different time than non-Amish, right?
Well, to some degree. Now, in Holmes County, we're seeing a little shift, but I would say back, you know, even 10, 15 years ago, it was probably always on a Tuesday or a Thursday for the old and new order. But the Schwarzentubers would tend to marry more in the winter because they don't have the refrigeration capacity that the other groups do. And our Amish here now rent wedding trailers that have the stoves in it, and they have refrigeration that they can really, you know, have a wedding on a hot day. But most of our weddings are on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Actually, I just passed a wedding this morning on the back roads. So in the spring, fall. Summer's not a real big time to marry because it's just too hot and too busy. There's other things to do.
Right.
There's canning. There's gardening. There's things to do out in the around the house. So we don't see that too much in the summer. But it could be on Fridays and some Saturdays now. It just kind of depends.
Well, I figured there'd be a lot of guests that would go there. You know, I mean, non-Amish have a lot of guests too, big weddings too. But I mean, the food there would be for, you know, like you said, like 350 guests. The food, they would have no problem having a supply of food.
Well, I wanted to share with you, I know Naomi's here looking at the same thing, but here is a wedding dinner recipe from 1978, okay? They had peeled 75 pounds of potatoes. They took 20 loaves of bread for the dressing. They used 46 chickens, 24 heads of lettuce, and 6 quarts of salad dressing. They had 60 pounds of trail bologna and 25 pounds of Swiss cheese. They had 35 pies and 6 large sheets of cake. And that was just the noon meal because they always have a supper meal for the youth where they had sandwiches. So they had 60 pounds of ham, 550 buns. You know, so it is a lot of work to get ready for that wedding. Not a catered meal.
Just, right, so that's just one wedding.
That's just one meal, Ryan. Yeah,
one meal. You are good.
Yeah, it goes on and on. So.
Wow, that
awesome. If you would be ever attend an Amish wedding, it is amazing to see how organized it is with the food. It's amazing.
Wow. Now, I wanted to go back to the Amish culture and ask about the male Amish men in the culture. Now, I wanted to ask about the hats and the bonnets and the beards.
Okay.
Can you tell us about Can you tell us about that real quickly, about that?
I'm going to answer about the beard and the mustache, and
okay.
and then let Naomi maybe answer about the hat.
Okay.
Okay, whatever she – because really there's no really cultural thing. I think it's just a expected
tradition.
Just for the men to wear a hat. They're out in the field. They're going to keep their head covered. I mean, they're going to protect it from the elements. It's just something I think is more understood than really a reason why. But I'll let her, if she needs to answer that. But here in Holmes County, no Amish actually sport a mustache because that reminds them of the military. And they are conscientious objectors. They do not believe in fighting. You know, Christ did not kill. And the Bible and the commandment says that thou shalt not kill. So to be more honorable about their stand on violence, they just choose to shave their upper lip. It's a reminder
okay.
that they are against war as far as killing people. They are peacemakers,
okay.
and that's more pretty much how I would answer that. And in our county here, I would say the beard is a sign, you know, that they have turned away from the worldly ways. It's a sign to the world that they have adapted the traditional Amish culture. And also when you join church, many of the boys may start to let their facial hair grow and keep a short-trimmed beard. It isn't mandatory,
okay.
but when you join church, things change. And usually that's in your late teens, and that's when you develop your manhood. You've been shaped by your father growing up. You know what's expected of you. And then when they marry, then they don't trim, you know, they don't keep their beard trimmed short necessarily. Some Amish can maybe trim a little bit, but not so much for vanity, but just for the sake of how they would maybe want to keep their beard. I've seen long, silky beards. I've seen short, full beards. But usually beards represent you're a married man and you have joined the church, because there's some single
okay.
men that have a short trim beard and they're a member of the church,
right.
but they're single. Okay?
Okay.
And then what was the other question about other than the hat?
I wanted to ask about the as far as the bonnet, as far as the, because you see a lot of ladies wear, some wear black bonnets, some wear white bonnets. So I was wondering about that too, you know.
I think Naomi would agree with me that in Holmes County, the singles wear the black on Sunday, and school-aged children,
okay.
usually like 14 or so under, wear black because it doesn't show dirt. It's a very practical reason, but all married women wear white coverings all the time. And I just visited a head covering shop yesterday where they make the head coverings, and there's 21,
okay.
22 sizes of the head covering. Now, And again, with every group, Bryant, there is a little different style. The New Order have a different style of covering to the Old Order. The Schwarzentruber
okay.
have a different style than the Dan Church. There's many, many little ways to identify sort of what group they're in. And the Bible says a woman's head should be covered. And when you pray
wow.
or prophesy with your head, it shall be covered. And again, it does represent submission to the husband and obedience to God, because a woman should
okay.
be, you know, under her husband. Like Christ is the head of the church, the man is the head of the house.
Wow.
Naomi's shaking her head yes. So.
Wow. You know, this is awesome, just learning about the Amish culture. We're going to take a small break and come right back, because I have a lot more questions to ask here on Flavor Living Radio.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Flavor Living Radio. Talk about food and life and more. Cooking, restaurants, and recipes with adventures too. Wait and see. Flavor Living Radio. Everything. Want to know, so tune in
Flavor Living Radio, and what an awesome show with the Amish culture. And I wanted to let everybody to know also, today is National Food Day, October the 24th, and that's going on today. It's a great day for healthy, sustainable, good food, and that's if you kind of look that up, National Food Day. But we're going to go back to our interview with LaVon and Naomi Yoder from the Amish community of Berlin, Ohio.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing? We're back again. All
right. We're having a blast. Now, we're having fun with you, Brian.
Yes, yes, yes. I wanted to go back to, you know, you hear different things about different pies. So could you tell us, what is the whoopie pie?
Hey, that's Naomi's question. Here she is.
Yes,
so cookie pie, that is actually a cookie. I don't actually know where it gets the pie name, but it's a chocolate cookie. You have two cookies, and you put a filling in the middle, like a white creamy Crisco filling. That's the whoopie pies.
That's the whoopie pie. Now,
yes.
I can't buy the whoopie pie in our stores here. I have to make this, right?
Really? Yeah. Well, I wonder if it would be called a ho-ho cake or something different. Because
right.
There's like, you know, that kind of a different name. Yes, it is. It's a ho-ho cake. But there's pumpkin ho-hos or there's pumpkin whoopie pies. There's different flavors of whoopie pies. I mean, Pam Gerald's listening. Pam, you know all about the whoopie pie, girl. So I don't know, Naomi.
Okay.
Can you answer that any better? No?
No, I don't know. But I would say the ho-ho is the closest to the whoopie pie.
It's sort
whoopie
of like
pie. Okay, real close to that. Okay.
It looks like a big Oreo cookie is what it looks like. You know, big thick fillings with chocolate top and bottom, and you can make them in different sizes, and sometimes it's like a whole cake. So that's kind of, you know, one of the things you'll see here.
Now, Naomi, Naomi Yoder, you host, you make meals for other people to come in into your home to eat, correct? Right?
Yes. Yes, I do. I do for LaVon's tours, yes.
Wow. So, I mean, how many people come there throughout the year? A lot of people?
Yes, quite a bunch. I don't know how exactly. I didn't keep track this season yet, but...
All right.
She could have maybe, how many is the most you've taken at one time in your house?
38.
38 people.
Yes.
38 at one time.
Yes.
Now,
two or three times a week? Just depends on the demand?
Wow, two or three times a week. That's a very giving. That's a very giving to offer that to people, you know?
Yeah, they really enjoy the experience. You know, because it really opens their eyes to see, like, sort of, you know, not how all the Amish live, but at least how Naomi's group is. You know, Naomi, I must say, she has a beautiful home. Her husband is a contractor. He builds houses. He does construction. She has a beautiful setting. You know, there's just no grid power. There's no TV. There's no radio. But it's a beautiful home. She's got a nice decor in there. But you're still going to see the Maytag Ringer washer when you walk in the basement. You're still going to see glass lights. You're going to still see things that are very conducive to being Amish. And so if people are coming in expected to see a unpainted house with no color inside, then they're going to be surprised.
Right.
You know,
Naomi's like, that's not going to happen here. I got you.
Not at Naomi's house, but there are groups, Fortune Trooper, that, you know, we don't eat in their home, but that is more representative of their style of choice, of living. So, yeah, it's just going to really showcase how, you know, some of the more, Amish can kind of enhance kind of the homes that they have lived in the past. But it's still like three levels. It still has the traditional, you know, bedrooms on the third level, living room on the second level, sewing room on the second level, the basement where they live in the summertime. They have a kitchen on the first level. There's still things very much, you know, consistent with the Amish style of a home.
Now, I heard that Naomi there's a recipe called the elephant stew recipe.
Oh, the elephant stew. Yeah, I'm going to let her read that off. Okay?
Yes, yes. Can you tell us about the elephant stew?
Okay, now this is
recipe.
If you're really hungry, okay?
Okay, all right.
Okay. So she's going to tell you what's in it.
Okay, for the elephant stew, you will need one medium elephant, 1 ton of peppers, 2 bushels of carrots, 2 small rabbits, optional, 1 ton of salt, 500 bushels of potatoes, 4,000 sprigs of parsley.
And then this is how you cook it, Brian.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. I heard, could you give the first ingredient that you had in there in the stew?
It's a 1 medium-sized elephant.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to ask that. I want to make sure that was in there. Okay.
I'm
all
telling
right.
you, Brian, this is for the hungry ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I wanted to. Okay.
This is the directions on how to make it now.
Okay.
Okay, you cut the elephant into bite-sized pieces. This will take approximately 2 months to do it. Place meat in a pan and cover with 1,000 gallons of gravy. Simmer for 4 weeks. Shovel salt and pepper to taste. When meat is tender, add vegetables. Steam shovel is useful here. Simmer slowly for 4 weeks. Garnish with parsley. Will serve 3,800 people. If more are expected, add the 2 rabbits.
But here's the
okay.
key to the whole thing.
Yes, I'm writing this
so
out.
So if you add the 2 rabbits, this is not recommended because people do not like hair in their stew. We had to share that because that was in actually one of our Amish recipe books, and I thought that was funny. We probably wouldn't
that
serve
was...
it. We probably wouldn't.
That was good. That was good. Oh, wow.
Brian, the haystack, though, the haystack meal.
Yes.
It's awesome, and the haystack menu, the recipe, goes back to where, the Amish don't have health insurance that they don't buy, but to raise money to help people with their hospital bills and their needs that way, a haystack basically is nothing more than a huge way to put together a salad. However, you layer it. You take different bowls and you would have chopped up carrots and diced lettuce and maybe some hard-boiled eggs, chopped up, soda crackers that are crumbled, tomatoes are cut up, onions cut up. You can add a variety of ingredients, and you would also use a hot meat sauce. And in our county, we can use either cooked white rice or, Naomi said, she uses spaghetti. So any kind of a pasta would be satisfactory to use in the haystack. But you usually start with the crushed, crumbled soda crackers. Then maybe you'll put pasta on. So it's kind of like it's like a big salad bar, and you just go through and you just start piling these ingredients on top of one another. But what makes it really look like a haystack is the melted cheese. And then you could tortilla chips or some Doritos or something on top of it. But it just really makes nice for a large number of people coming for a benefit. That's sort of how it kind of got started years ago. And it's very popular here. When you see a haystack benefit, people go. And you could even have a breakfast haystack, and you would have breakfast foods, or you could have the lunch or the dinner. Very filling, and it's very good. And, when we serve a haystack at Naomi's, do you know what the dessert is? The dessert, if you have a haystack, you're going to need something to eat it with, right? Well, think about it as we have a pitchfork apple cobbler, okay? So the key word is pitchfork, you know. But
yes.
It's a delicious hot apple cobbler, and it just kind of goes in line with the haystack lunch. Can you pick up on that little humor there? So it's awesome. It's just a delicious meal, really, especially with that hot meat sauce and that either that pasta or that cooked white rice.
I know. I saw a video. I mean, there's a video on YouTube about it. It's if you look it up, it's you guys have you're filming a video of the haystack dinner.
I did. It's under Amish Heartland Tours, How to Build a Haystack.
Yeah.
And that was done at one of our Amish homes here maybe about a year and a half ago or so.
Okay. Now, I have got another question back to the Amish tradition. You kind of see the Amish on as far as horse and buggy. And could you tell us about that as far as, because they're not driving cars, so how does that work out, the horse and buggy?
Well, typically, you know, again, it's about that separation from the world. And, of course, in our area, there's a lot of taxi drivers. That's how I started out years ago. I drove men to work. I took them at 4 o'clock in the morning, picked them up in my van, dropped them off, and then picked them up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and took them home. And so there's a lot of people that do that for a part-time job or a full-time job, and they need us for that transportation because Amish men are not going to take typically their horse and buggy to their job. You know, where are you going to put the horse all day? And you have to water it. So you rely on drivers. And, again, they're not against the car, remember, but they need us and we need them. And so an average horse can usually clip-clop for, 10 miles an hour? I would say average, maybe 10, 12 miles. If you're going to go 20 miles somewhere, you probably won't take a horse and buggy. Is that true, Naomi? It's too far. It's going to tire the horse. So that, you know, if you're going to just go into town and you're 5 miles from the nearest IGA or Amish Walmart or whatever they call them here, then you would probably take your horse. You don't need to hire a driver for that. But sometimes, you know, you would have women that go on certain days of the week, and they might have their 5 or 6 women every 2 weeks on a Wednesday. They go for the whole day. They go to Walmart, Kmart, Aldi's, Dollar Store. Where else would you stop, Naomi? Just make it a full day.
Yeah, it's called the grocery day.
It's the grocery day. And you take your box, and you might even, the driver in the van might even have a trailer that he pulls on behind, and you just stock up your groceries for 2 weeks. But, you know, horse and buggy here, you know, the average family probably has, I would imagine, 3-4 buggies in a family.
Mm-hmm.
And the average buggy costs about $5,000.
Yeah.
The average buggy horse is about, 2,000 average?
Wow. Okay. So there's some good expense there. Okay. Wow.
But, you know, Brian, you're going to get 15 years of use out of that buggy without an oil change, and that's pretty good.
No. I laugh because I'm
going to go through a lot of probably oats, too, you know. So
wow.
Pros and cons. You know, It's just, again, to keep that tradition alive. And as soon as an Amish person, if they would start driving a car, then they're not Amish anymore. You know, that's where you enter into the Mennonite segment. That's where you enter into a beachy group. Beachy Amish kind of look Amish. They dress Amish, but they have a car and they have electric. But they might dress kind of really closely to what the old order Amish dress. But, Naomi, add anything about the buggy, the horse?
No, I would say you're pretty well, you know, set it. What really makes it nice, you know, we have the small strip along the side that, you know, stay out of the car's way for safety.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'd say you're
pretty well. I mean, how does the, I know in the Amish community, the non-Amish, including food and transportation, the non-Amish is helping the Amish, and the Amish is helping the non-Amish as far as, you know, helping each other out, correct, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't think we could survive one without the other.
No.
You know, we need each other, you know, because Amish have their formal education up to 8th grade, and so that means that there would be no one that could really, like, do surgical procedures on their own people. You know, they need us to do those things. But for them, They would just rather be a culture that is, I would say, there's a consistency about their work ethics. It's not so much that one wants to, maybe wants to have maybe like an ability that someone else doesn't have. Because if you look around, all the women know well, you know, they know in their culture that they need to be good homemakers, raise their children, sew, cook, clean. Does it mean they like to do all that? Maybe not. But that's their requirements. That's what they're expected to do. And then the men, they're expected to be the provider. They're expected to raise up their children the way they should go, as it says in the scripture. So men are there in the house to be good examples for their sons, and the women are there to be good examples for their daughters. And there's definitely a sex distinction within the family. You know, women are wearing the dress. They're being more the feminine role model. Boys, they follow their dad's role. And so, you know, if you have and all have the eighth grade education, it doesn't mean they're not capable of doing things, but they just choose to let the English, the non-Amish people, take care of surgical things, you know, maybe be a banker, maybe be a nurse, because when you start working away from the home, you're going to start needing other people to take care of your children. And here we don't have Amish, we don't have daycare centers that the Amish send their kids to, their children. The mothers, fathers, they raise their children. And that's a big difference that we see locally. The consistency of raising the children in by the same two people for 18 years, those children know, you know. But I would say, you know, the Amish are well-read. They like to read things. They can expand their knowledge on things by reading. It's just, again, it's a culture, and this is how we define who we are. If we go out and do other things what the world is doing, then where are we going to really have a distinction?
Wow. Well, wow, what for you guys being on Flavor Living Radio, I wanted to thank you guys. Can you tell us about the Amish Heartland Tours, where you can be reached, so people can know about it? And Naomi Yoder, thank you for being on our show, too, for telling us about the elephant stew recipe, especially.
You're welcome. Well, you know, Brian, we love what we do here. We've been doing this for 21 years. It's what I do for my living. And we have had such good opportunities to build relationships with our Amish neighbors, as Naomi is one of them. And they I think it's a good marriage of what they can provide for the visitor and what we can provide for the visitor. It's everyone wins here. So, you know, when visitors come to Holmes County, we are on the web at AmishHeartlandTours.com. All of our tours are listed there. We are going to be changing up some of our tours next year. We're going to have a bakery back road buggy brunch tour, and that's going to have a haystack lunch in it. And we're going to have a history heritage dinner tour, where you get the back road tour, you get a buggy ride, you tour the historical mural behalt, and you will have a dinner, hopefully, at Naomi Yoder's home. And then we have our two-hour tour, which is just a great overview of the culture, where we visit Amish artisans, and we stop at an Amish home for cookies and punch. And then we also do the All About Amish Dinner Tour. That's one of our most popular packages. And that's where you would tour two former Amish homes, take a buggy ride, tour a one-room school, back road tour, visit two artisans, and have a dinner at Naomi Yoder's home. So you have to request it. I mean, we're here 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, 9 to 12 on Saturday. Marcia, she's our reservationist. She does a wonderful job of helping the visitor. We don't have an online reservation. We like to talk to our visitor.
Well, thank you for being on our show. I mean,
I loved it. Thank you for having us.
And learning. Thank you.
right. You're welcome.
And much respect to the Amish culture.
Thank you, Brian.
Okay. I want to thank everybody for coming on to Flavor Living Radio and listening to our show today. And please subscribe to our radio show on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and Stitcher. And come back for our show next weekend. We will talk more about food trends. And drive safe and eat well. And keep on being on.
Restaurants and recipes with